pour something flammable in your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. With us today,
it's going down.
It's Timber.
It's Timber.
Oh my god.
Dude, I'm so talented. If you auto-tune that shit, I would be sucking dicks in Hollywood. We are also joined by Matt Damon.
Hi.
Frequent-ish guest host. And Terry is also here, farthest away from the mic, enjoying the podcast time. And as you can see, we are coming in quite loud and clear, so we'll take a step back, try not to bump the table. All right.
Whatever.
No Matt problem. Matt just head juked. I said, don't bump the table, and he's like, I need to fake him out. Oh, man, he never saw it coming. That's all that was right there.
That's what she said.
You are listening to Jaded Gamercast. I am adjusting the microphone levels because they are just a tad bit high.
See, that
but was, we just got back from a hockey game in which it was televised where Matt and Nathan were humping the shit out of my face after the Ducks scored their first goal 35 seconds into the game.
On Canadian national television.
I was going to say, we were tagged by friends. They were just like, yeah, I totally just saw them on TV, like high-fiving and like air-humping Lang's face. So we're just like, we need to get this down. Like, if we can get a copy of this, we are putting this on the Facebook page, the website. Like, it just... This needs to be
the Christmas
card for sure. I mean, like, this needs to be recorded for posterity's
sake.
But
at the end of the day, I was the more humped. You were the more humped. I did more humping because we won. Oilers won, and hey, I was
you know
very
what?
Happy.
I was gonna say
you got outplayed.
Yeah, you know, you're right. We did get outplayed. Outplayed. I mean, when it's 53 shots to 23, I mean, you can't expect a goalie to make 20 saves.
And a guy who scored 3 goals all year. Flukes went in off the post.
No, he scored 2 because he fluked in his third.
This was his third one. Andrew Ferentz, thanks for showing up.
I'm happy.
Oh, dude, I knew shit was bad when it's like Getzlaf gets the puck wide open ice and he's like skating around in circles in their own end. I'm like, oh my god, what are you doing?
He's doing pirouettes to kill time.
Yeah, just like in circles. I was just like, hey, you know what? It's a point. I'll take it. But like I said, every game I've gone to this year... Oilers have won.
You know,
the lucky charm right there.
I think I am like the Ducks.
That was
like,
5-1.
Mega luck because like fuck me. Like mega? I was in Calgary.
Just because we spent so much time talking about
Sailor
anime
Moon
that suddenly
anime
it's mega.
Mega luck.
God damn it.
It's from the Negaverse. I have a bad feeling about this, Lang. But yeah, like it's just like I was there in Calgary and they lose 7-2. I'm here tonight. I'm just like, you know what? I need to just stop watching
just
Ducks game. I will get
become
scores
a Calgary
the next
fan.
Yeah, like
and,
said,
and
at least
they
that
barely
way
squeak out and they barely squeaked out a victory in Calgary.
Oh, Wednesday I know. Too. Yeah, we were there on Wednesday.
If you didn't
too.
Notice, me and Nathan are actual really big Ducks fans.
Yeah, so Maddie drove down to Calgary to catch a game at the Dome on Wednesday, and I drove up here for a game on Friday. And yeah, so I said big Ducks fans, which means that I'm just used to disappointment and being out in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep. Whoa! Yes, killer.
See, and I'm so used to disappointment that a win like this. This is like Stanley Cup territory.
Well, Edmonton might burn down tonight.
I was sitting there like shaking my jersey.
Yeah, I was like, white
Edmonton might
on
burn
fire.
Down tonight.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what we did this week in hobby. I played video games and like
still
put a very little amount of effort into painting more ships. However, since I've now received what will be essentially the rest of my Dindrenzi force, I now have over 1,200 points. So I've got more than enough to actually play my Dindrenzi. I think I'll probably get back into painting, but I mean, I've made a little bit of headway, but getting so close to the expo now, my new hobby is getting my costumes ready, so I've been spending a lot of time doing that. What about you, Nathan?
I was going to say, you don't have a tickle trunk to just open up, get all your costumes out of? Canadian joke. I mean, most of our listeners aren't getting
not
that
even
shit.
A good Canadian joke.
You don't listen. They can't all be winners, kid. This
trust
week...
me, I know.
I was gonna say our listeners are also very aware of how much they are not all winners. Got my first game of 40K in about 2 years. Played up my Iron Hands. Basically, it was the most fifth ed of games imaginable. Because, like I said, my list is straight fifth edition. I think allies are stupid. I think fortifications are ruining the game. I think, you know, data slates are pointless. And, like, I think Lords of War are a terrible idea. So, when you remove all of that, what do you have? You have fifth edition with flyers and Overwatch. So... Like I said, that was my list, pure Clan Raukon Iron Hands, and I played against an orc player who feels similarly to me. So he was just running 100% pure orc. So it was actually a lot of fun because I didn't have to deal with any of the dickbaggery that ruins the game.
Right.
But no, like I said, it was fun. I really enjoyed the way my army played. I'm looking forward to getting into the tournament at Adepticon next weekend, actually. Damn. I still have a lot to paint. Anyway,
the panic sets in.
Yeah, you're just like, holy shit, you mean like 1 week today is when I'm playing all day? Oh. Other than that, I painted all three of my Razorbacks, a Dreadnought, and my Storm Raven between now and then. And I brought my command squad to paint this weekend in the hopes that like you'll host gaming tomorrow or something so I can just sit and paint.
I'm not going to host shit, dude. We're just going to have random games and have Jason over.
Done. In nice. Which case, I'm still just going to sit and fucking paint because I'm like,
Maddie, what about you? What do you up to?
Well, besides driving from here to Calgary about twice, I actually confirmed that I'm going to be playing in the 1200 point Firestorm tournament.
Awesome.
So I bought the rest of my frigates from my Dindrenzi because I'm also going to be trying to get my Dindrenzi done, and three more gunships. So that means my fleet's going to be a Dreadnought, six gunships, and like nine frigs. So that's literally 1200 points for me.
That's awful.
Come at me.
That is terrible. Oh, man. Let's ask Terry. Terry, what have you been up to this week?
I have been promoting the holy hell out of the Adepticon International Tabletop Day event, graciously hosted by the organizers of Adepticon. It's a free-to-the-public event. So if you are in or around the Chicago area, April 5, come on down to the Lombard Weston York Town Center and...
I love the LBW.
LBW. Yeah. LBW.
No,
that
sounds
like a rap group. LYB.
LYB is a fucking legit ass. It is a legit ass rap group.
Legit.
Like played bass for them.
Like played bass for
LYB. I beatboxed for them.
I beatboxed for LBY, dude. That's all I did, dude. I wreck it. All right, so let's talk about the weekly listener poll for this week. The question that we asked you guys was a very simple one. Which model is worse, Bebop truck or the Skulldozer?
Oh, with the belt. The Skulldozer takes
the lead, but I was amazed at how close this race was.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the last week, I did not know which I hated more.
For the Skulldozer, 43% for the Bebop truck. Which is amazing.
You know, I think the problem is like now that the White Dwarf came out today and I had a chance to flip through, I got a lot more views of the Bebop truck, and all it really looks like is what happens if you took like an Escalade and you pimped it out in the stupidest way possible. You know, you're just like, you thought spinner rims were bad. Tread rims, bitches?
If Exhibit got a hold of your Escalade and made it 40K'd?
Yeah.
Yo, right. Dog, I heard you like 40K, so we 40K'd your Escalade.
40K'd the shit out of it with speakers.
Many TVs.
Yo, dog, you seen this axe we put on the side? I heard you like axes, dog. I'm not surprised at this. Like I said, I was surprised at how close it was. It was really something that kind of took me by surprise. But the comments were very entertaining. Malorian, Mr. Malorian from YouTube says, it doesn't match the current theme, but it still looks interesting on its own. You compared it to NIDS, but they have changed the look of the NIDS as well. If they don't continue this new style, then it's dumb. But if they do, then it's just the tip of the iceberg and most likely GW testing the waters before completely redoing the line. This was actually kind of an interesting idea. The idea that this is just
iceberg
the first...
Iceberg stupid?
Wow.
But why does the Imperial Guard line need to get redone? It has such a great aesthetic to begin with.
Well, okay, that's the thing, right? Like, let's go back and let's...
I mean for their vehicles.
I live in North America.
Their vehicle kits are old, but they all look really good.
Okay, but let's go back. Let's go back and think about all the times that Games Workshop has changed the look of a kit, right? They've changed the look of a kit because it was outdated, but people were like, oh, the old model was fine. Like, that's actually very rare for them to do something like that. Most of the time when they drastically change the look of a kit, they're doing it in such a way that they are, they're actually, they see that there's a deficiency, right? You know what I'm saying?
The third edition round to the fourth edition round?
Right, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, it's, This is an upgrade. Now, this is totally different.
Possessed every time they release the models.
All right.
Every possessed kit is replaced by a different possessed kit. No, but I do get what you're saying, because you know what? If you look at Games Workshop's releases of the past, I would say, 3 years, they've been shying away from actually replacing models because they caught so much flack with that. Like, we talked about it, where it's just like, they replace a model. Sorry, I'm just getting confused by all the hand signals.
Those were absolutely sexual.
All right, excellent. No, but like, you know, even if you look back to it, to this day, there are people that hate these demonettes compared to the Juan Diaz ones before that. And so Games Workshop tends to
not...
But
that's the tit conversation. That's a different conversation.
Sure. If you want to say it's a different conversation.
Derailed.
Right? But no, like I said, Games Workshop has been very, very hesitant to actually replace existing models. It just hasn't happened of late. And I think that's why maybe Mr. Malorian is right, where this is the tip of the iceberg, where they want to do some new things. But rather than replacing the old ones, they're just going to introduce it alongside. Because, I mean, Garda is already the army that has two complete ranges with the Katachans.
Katachans. I put it into Google Translate. I hit play. It said Katatans. Katatans.
So you're saying, well, you know, in which case we know all of those, like, English to Chinese subtitles are correct because the computer did it.
Clearly. That's why I love original Akira over redone.
I guess if you're looking at it, like, different planets have different vehicles. Like, if you're playing Steel Legion, like, the Grey Coat guys, you would see more chimeras.
Those are called Nazis,
Stormcoat.
Matt.
The Stormcoat.
Whatever.
Guys.
Also whatever. Nazis. Whatever. The Darth Vader guys.
Right. Gotcha.
They would all roll in chimeras and have, like, Lehman Russ's backing them up, right? But
right.
Then if they're doing the new, like, Red Beret guys, maybe their whole world is just truck buggies. And that's what their vehicles all look like. They're all truck buggies.
Now, is that like, their
mullets are tucked
world?
Up underneath the berets?
Like, this is the third world. They have funny ways of transportation. Ooh. Instead of cars and buses, they have tuk-tuks and jeepneys. And like, is this what you're saying?
All right.
I don't know.
But I like that line of thinking is what my original comment was. I actually like that line of thinking of somebody saying, like, you know what? This might not be a one-off. This might be testing the waters on an entirely new guard line. Even though all three of us disagree with the idea of an entirely new guard line because we do like it. And it's like we said... Well, no, but it's like we said in the last episode. We would rather see guard models being created for existing canon and the game supporting that as opposed to let's create new models and new canon and new this, that, and the other thing, right? So Andrew said this may be somewhat heretical, but I'd like to see the Imperial Guard / Astra Militarum / Man Hordes in space vehicles get a bit of a facelift. Sure.
See, now I know you played base for Man Hordes in space vehicles. I know that was a band you were in.
Yes.
How did you know?
Sure, there's the SCC.
I mean, sure, he played under a pseudonym.
A pseudonym, that's right.
Derail! That's one for one, bitch.
Gang Larenovich. I don't know, man. He said, sure, there's the STC limitation to consider, but that doesn't stop Space Marine vehicles getting a makeover in a few years back. That doesn't stop the Torox from looking laughably bad, but it's still not as bad as the Skulldozer, even if you replace the Skulldozer's head with Sting. And then he provides a picture, which I'm now going to click on because you will enjoy it. And that is why you comment on the site and not the poll. Yaji. I'm assuming he's a French-Japanese person.
Oh, Yaji. I was going to say, like, Flying Yogi? Like, where are we going with this?
Maybe he's a monster.
You guys are mad. The Torox looks awesome. I am really stoked for it. The Stormtroopers look great as well. Just because we haven't seen this specific design in images / fluff before, so what? Do we never want anything new? There must be many STCs that we haven't seen yet in the fluff or the game. It's not like they have... ever said that the Chimera and the Russ is all there is.
All right, now I just want to stop. Like, you can finish your thought, but I just want to point out that despite us never mentioning the acronym STC because we were too drunk to remember it.
That's right.
Kudos to all of our listeners to pick that shit up and post it in every one of these comments.
I was just like,
it was one of those.
At least they know the fluff.
Well, okay, here's the thing, right? Really what it comes down to is, we talked about this before, every time something new is put out, they're retconning the universe, right? Just because it doesn't appear in the fluff or the fiction does actually mean something, right? This assumption, and it was very funny, I had a very interesting conversation with somebody at work today. We were talking about Doctor Who, right? Doctor Who is very high sci-fi, and it's all about the canon. So anytime something new comes out, they're changing and adjusting the canon. They're not sticking to the canon. Whereas with something like 40K, which is a very contemporary science fiction, canon is what you have to adhere to. It's like the whole idea of, in Star Wars, we don't accept time travel because it doesn't exist and it's impossible. In Star Trek, we accept it, but we don't accept
because
magical
Kirk
powers.
Does it all the time.
But we don't accept magical powers where people lift shit with their mind, right?
Unless you're Q.
Right, okay, sure.
But Q's a god.
Yeah.
Q is a god, right? But, like, that's the idea. Like, in certain canons, you accept certain things, but in this particular thing, it's not about acceptance. It's about the idea that they are adding something new, they are adjusting the canon, and they are retconning what came before, and you either like it or you don't, right?
The only thing they ever
So it's not like we're saying that, oh, the Russet and the Chimera is all there is, because we all know those things, right?
But the one thing they did that was shrewd with the Storm Raven was that they said the STC was brand new. They had just found it. I don't understand why they can't just say that this buggy is something that's brand new going into the 42nd millennium.
Primarily because the Chimera and the Russ are not STCs, if I recall.
No, they are. They're one of the first original ones they found.
Okay.
Just leaving the Sol system. That was one of the first ones they found.
Was the Chimera and the Russ?
Was the Russ pattern? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I think Lehman Russ actually found it. That's why it was named after him.
You're right. I believe I'm drunk.
Hooray for
the
drunk.
Land war.
No, but I mean, like,
Asia,
but okay.
And never argue with Matt about the fluff.
It's true.
I'm right there. I'm right,
right
there.
Right. No, but I mean, the other thing that you have to keep in mind, though, is Games Workshop has made the conscious decision to freeze their time.
Yes,
time does not
right.
pass in the 41st
the 41st millennium,
millennium
will never end.
There are not, yeah, we're never going to go to the 42nd millennium. We're never going to see any of that because Games Workshop has made the conscious decision to basically retcon the Eye of Terror campaign.
That's correct.
Bring Eldrad back from the dead and say, oh, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You know, despite all of that. So, like, Games Workshop has decided to freeze the fluff. So the whole notion of moving into this next millennium, we've discovered this, we've discovered that, is bullshit because of Games Workshop's own announcement that the game will never progress past
right.
this
well,
point.
Like, do you remember when
we're
the orcs had captured
get new
a
chapter
world?
Masters? We're
yes.
never going to
right?
get new anything.
What was it?
In
Daka, what did they end up calling it? Daka Majoris or something like that?
Well, in the 13th Crusade, the orcs did so well, they took a forge world.
Yeah, they took a forge world.
It was well documented they were getting a forge world.
Stop hitting the table.
Sorry. It was well documented they took a forge world.
We like,
it
when our listeners can
more,
hear this.
Okay. And more, and that was going to be like more crazy.
I'm going down. I'm yelling timber.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so thanks to everyone who commented and voted on the poll there. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. So let's move on to the model or models of the week. We were actually going to do Horus, Warmaster, Primarch from Forge World, but they also just recently released the Salamanders Legion Pyroclasts, which we will also be talking about. But let's go ahead and start off with the Warmaster here. Matt, why don't you give us your thoughts about this model?
I know in the New Year's episode there was a question about how the progression of the Primarchs was going.
Yeah, actually, yeah, exactly.
And
hey, and you know what? Quick announcement. I found a copy of the New Year's special.
Nice.
Apparently the broadcasting software saves a copy of whatever you broadcast to a folder, not under the name of what you saved it as and broadcast it as. So I did actually find it, because I was like, damn, this folder's big. 5 hours of video in that folder.
Nice. Okay, so, well, we're going to be seeing
that
again,
was
actually.
Pornography folder.
I may be reposting it here on YouTube in the next little bit. So that'll fire up.
And but I know we talked about that before. And this Primarch goes on with just how they're just moving on in a great view. Like, everything is getting better. The Primarchs are getting better. You can see the models are hitting their stride.
I mean,
and Horus is just the epitome of that.
You compare Angron to Horus, and you would not even believe that they're both Primarchs, because that Angron model is a piece of shit compared to this.
Fulgrim is the worst.
Fulgrim's terrible.
Fulgrim's the worst. But I know his name's Alurin, but I can't remember his actual real name right now. The guy who's the Warbearer's Primarch. He looks really good.
Logar.
Yeah. Logar, he looks really good. And then you take him and put him to Horus. They're kind of looking the exact same. You see where the aesthetic's going, but Horus just takes it to a whole new level.
Well, and this is the first Primarch that we're seeing in Terminator armor. right? So like his stature and the just the size of the model is pretty staggering. And I think what I like most about it is that the pose is just a good pose, right? Yeah. They won at the pose stage of this modeling, right? It wasn't flinging yourself through the air, turning your hips and swinging your ass. Like, it's just, he's up, he's standing on the stairs. He's got a great looking pose. They did not blow the armor out of the water, and they scaled the Terminator armor appropriately. Yeah. You would have never thought to yourself, okay, here's what a Space Marine looks like in a Terminator armor, where like his little bitty head is sticking out the top. But what does a Primarch look like in Terminator armor?
He's popping out of this thing.
He's actually like, it looks like it fits him. It looks like Space Marine armor, right? I think that's what I like so much about it, is they scaled the armor appropriately. Whereas if you go and you look at the pictures of like the Emperor, and then there's the Horus standing over, you know, the menstrual fluid sanguineous, you know, like, welcome.
Listen, I just hope
he looks stupid because he's sitting there. He looks like a little box, right? Like, yeah, he's just like, "Hey, I'm a Primarch."
Listen, you know, we saw the Ferris Manus and the Fulgrim bases interlock to make a diorama. If I cannot put a dead Sanguinius on these stairs, that is a missed opportunity.
That is a serious missed opportunity.
There will be a second horse coming out that is the actual Chaos Warmaster one.
Yes, yeah, the Chaos out. Yeah.
That diorama is being made. You can guarantee that's going to be the last one made. It totally doesn't make sense.
No, see, but what I really appreciate about this model, and what I like about it, is you can see all of the details. I mean, you've got an Eye of Horus on him on the one knee. You've got a Luna Wolf on the other knee. He's got a wolf pelt. Because remember, before they renamed the Legion, the Sons of Horus, for, you know, from his ascension to War Master after the victory to Lenore, they were the Luna Wolves. So, you know, it was to commemorate that raising that they became the Sons of Horus. And you can see the mixture of those two iconographies. And I feel like that does such a good job of just matching it all.
And the wolf pelt has always been described, even in the first three books and in every photo that he's been done in the most recent fluff, is the wolf pelt is just his signature. He always has had the wolf pelt coming over his right shoulder. Even in the Emperor photo, he has the wolf pelt.
Well, and I think, you know, two things. The lack of a top knot.
Oh, and, my God, thank you.
And just no skulls. Yeah, and like, you know, no like, they did a very properly good job. And, I mean, like, this is what we're expecting from Forge World right now. And delivering.
I mean, after Ferris Manus. I mean, like, Ferris Manus was the first model granted, that they were just like,
Logar was really good, too, because he was a nice standard pose. And, this goes the same way. Not a crazy pose. Doesn't need to be fucking flinging his sword or fighting someone else. Just needs to be standing there looking epic.
Well, he's a leader. This is a great epic pose. He's that leadership pose, right? What I like about it as well, you know, I actually don't mind so much that the helmet, like, there's no helmet on there. Because, again, with the Primarchs, I get it. Like, I'm totally fine with it. And I think, in particular, I could go with some Kevin Sorbo bare arms. But I'm actually, I'm pretty okay with the way that they also did the Talon of Horus, right?
Oh, the Talon of Horus is beautiful.
Again, honestly, proportioned correctly.
I may be completely biased in that I'm building this Iron Hands list. I mean, like, for me, I still do prefer the Ferris Manus model. I think it is just a little bit better. But I mean, like, this is like the 9.9 versus the 9.8, right? Like, it's just, they're so close. And I know some people that prefer this one. Other people prefer Ferris. But either way, they're both home runs. Like, really, every bit of this. Because even if you watch their designer video where he talks about it, they intentionally sculpted this model to be built in such a way that this could be Horus the Warmaster, devout, you know, son of the Emperor, or this could be Horus the Warmaster, leader of...
Yeah, Fallen.
Fallen. You know, and it's just there on that cusp. So depending on what kind of Luna Wolves army that you yourself are building and how you want to paint him and how you want to imagine him, and the fact that this model can capture two different factions which are diametrically opposed, you know, I think, like I said, it's just, it's so perfectly executed. Because even as you said, the Talon of Horus is perfectly...
Well proportioned.
Yeah.
Proportioned. It looks right. You know, that big-ass mace of his doesn't look silly.
Like a custom lightning claw. It doesn't look like, you know...
Abaddon's like,
ridiculous. Like,
look, I'm allergic to bee stings. A bee stung my hand. It really swole up, guys. I'm trying to get to an apothecary. Maybe he has to pull the stinger out.
Well, maybe that was good modeling on their part because they were just like, no, 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 this is what Horus had. It's fucking massive.
I guess that's fair. All right, so let's talk about the Salamanders. The Pyroclasts. I'm going to go ahead and grab this guy right here, and we're going to zoom in. I don't like the veils.
What, you mean the fact that they're all suited up for their best train robbing outfits that possible? They're just like, listen, I don't want people to be able to see my face under my helmet, so I'm going to put on my little robber mask and make sure that I'm okay. Now make sure you put your valuables here in this bag.
Now, you remember the unit in Star Trek, StarCraft that nobody ever plays and nobody cares about and there's no reason to use them? Firebats? That's what they look like. They look like firebats, and that's why they fail. The thing that really bothers me about this is actually I do like the design of the armor.
Really? I hate it.
I like the flat, basic aesthetic to it.
Yes, iron armor.
With the heavy shoulder pads. But they end up covering it up with all the fucking, like, veils and dragon scales and hankies.
Yeah, like,
that bothers me.
See, I mean, like, Forge World has been on such a roll with so many really great armor kits that are able to capture the aesthetic of a Legion without going overboard and without falling into the Games Workshop tropes like of Phoenix, this is clearly a
like
fetish.
Phoenix Guard Terminators?
Right? Those Phoenix Guard Terminators are amazing. That Iron Hands Legion. Like, I've got Medusa and Immortals.
Iron Father. Oh yeah. My god, the new Iron
Look,
Father.
I'm using Medusa and Immortals for my command squad with Storm Shields, and they're phenomenal ones because they're capturing the aesthetic, they're not going overboard. And then when I look at this, and this commits every single fetish sin that we have talked about. Because, I mean, like, if we're looking at this one, you have fire on both shins, fire on one thigh, the other thigh is a dragon scale. He's got a dragon scale mask. He's got fire on his hand, fire on his crotch plate.
Dragon scale hanky.
Yeah, dragon scale hanky. And it's just like, it is so guilty of committing every one of these sins that it's actually ruining the general aesthetic of the armor because they're making it way too busy.
I like the general aesthetic of the armor. I like how basic and layered it looks.
Get Mark III armor.
The fire fetish dreadnought they came out with before is the exact same thing.
But it somehow worked better, and I think it worked better because of the fact that it had bigger armor plates. Like here, you look, and the fire is taking up 65% of every single armor plate it's on, and it's on every piece of armor. So you're just like, everything is just fire here, fire here, fire here, fire here, fire here.
And a flamethrower.
I get that they're a flamethrower unit, but like I said, tone it back a little bit. Because if all they did for this model right here is they said, okay, we have the shitty train robber masks, whatever. Take off the hanky on the thigh, get rid of the fire on his crotch plate and his two thighs, leave it only on the shins, and suddenly you're like, you know what? That's a nice bit of detailing. Because it's there, it's, you know, you're able to paint it up so it has that salamander's look, but you're not going over the top with it.
Get rid of all of the dragon skin. Like, the dragon skin...
Oh, I agree. The dragon skin is doing nothing.
I think it ruins the models with their veils, their... Pretty princess veils.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the funny thing...
If I wanted to play a Sisters of Battle army, I would grab these guys in a minute.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like...
Out of the codex.
That's right, John Wong. Fuck you.
Hey, you know John is already pre-ordered.
I know, he's already pre-ordered.
He already has
them.
No, he is... No. But
yeah, he can't paint them green because there's too much
orange. But he is such a Salamander completist that he is going to be having a pre-heresy
and
a post-heresy.
Did you see his post where he just said, God damn it, Forge World?
Well, yeah, and I mean, anyone that put this link, he was like, shut up and take my money. But like I said, he loves them because he loves Salamanders. But like I said, it commits every fetish sin, and I expect better from Forge World because Forge World has delivered better from the moment they started doing Legion-specific work.
I agree with that.
When Forge World comes out with their Blood Angel specific stuff, I'm going to be there the first person in line. Buying all of it. And being like, this is the next 40k honor I'm doing. Forge World Blood Angels. Mm-hmm. Done and done. Print my money and send it out to them.
There it is. All right, so.
I want Alpharius and Omegon Primarchs.
Oh my god. I'm so excited for the new Alpha Legion
Stop
rules.
Stop hitting the table.
Right? Right?
Oh my god. And I want to see them do... Primarchs that looked almost the exact same, but two different models, and have them both in masks. So Alpharius and Omegon were the only ones that wore masks.
I get that.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's going to be so good.
You know that Alpharius is alive, right?
I do know Alpharius
Maybe.
Is alive.
No, but see, here's the... Have you read Legion?
Hashtag spoilers.
I haven't. I haven't got that far. I'm finishing the third book in the Horse
Race. The Alpha Legion treats identity as a weapon.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Every legionary introduces themselves as Alpharius. Yeah. And that's why I'm just
the
like,
biggest thing
is it really?
No. The biggest thing about Legion is that it's literally one of the best books ever written for Horus Heresy. And...
Well, but he straight spanked a Chaos Marine, though, like a full-on chaos sorcerer.
It's true.
In that, okay, we are very deep into spoilers.
Spoilers, if you haven't read Eisenhorn versus Ravener, we don't like you anyway, so...
The statute of limitations on this has expired. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to a bit of email here. We're just going to kind of shoot the shit a little bit and talk about Games Workshop as a whole. This message comes to us from John Thompson. And yes, John, I am reading the second email that you sent in less of a drunken stupor. He says, "Hi, lads. Are we seeing the beginning of the end for Games Workshop? I say this because in spite of all the efforts of the company, it seems like there are fewer and fewer people playing or at least buying Games Workshop. Their sales figures, at least to my uneducated eye, seems to bear this. This may be indicative of 6th edition. I think we could all agree that it's not been the best edition for tournament play. When I go to Games Workshop, to the Games Workshop Battle Bunker and see hardly anyone, I can't help but compare it to the heyday of 5th edition." We compare it to the heyday of 4th edition.
Because 4th was a better edition, but come on.
"There are so many people that you had to be on the ball to get a table, and it would have you would have had to shout to be heard back in the day," is what he's explaining there in my drunken reading.
Drunk!
"How much fat can they cut off the bone before they start cutting muscle? Their profits seem..."
Well, they've been cutting bone for years. Go on. Right.
"Their profits seem to be from cost-cutting efforts, not shipping more units." We saw this with the fucking Void Shield thing, right? Mm-hmm. "Perhaps they are moving beyond the miniatures and with games, books, etc., becoming a cross-platform company. I don't think so, but maybe they do." And I can't remember, is that the first one or the second one he sent? I think that was actually the first one.
That was
one
the
he
first
sent.
One.
The second one he sent was, he's just like, "Hey guys, I was drunk last time," but he asks if they're jumping the shark, and then he basically breaks it down with a couple of other bits and pieces here, which we'll kind of get to, but let's get initial reactions here, Matt. Why don't you, or actually Terry,
give us a quick initial reaction.
As a Games Workshop apologist, what's your reaction?
As a Games Workshop.
Okay, so this is complicated, okay? It's complicated because...
God damn it, yes or no? You're wearing a cat hoodie.
Yeah, I know, right?
Luna.
It's a Luna fucking hoodie. But... Games Workshop is operating like a business, okay? And I know we hate it when they do shit like that, because when gamers make games, they engage better. It's funner. It's the same reason why people, despite like the awfulness of the community of War Machine, people still play that fucking game, because the ownership of that company is awesome. They're awesome.
Well, they support their product.
Absolutely. Games Workshop does not support their product.
And they recognize that their players actually have something to do with their product.
But that's the thing. Games Workshop supports their product the way that Parker Brothers supports Monopoly now. They don't. But that doesn't mean that they stop shipping the fucking game.
What do you mean? There's my Sailor Moon Monopoly, my My Little Pony Monopoly, my...
All right, yes. They are a corporation. They are a company. They are about making money, and that's the way that it's going to go. I mean, you know, it's a very interesting proposition to say, have they jumped the shark? Because jumping the shark, you know, for anybody who isn't aware, is a reference to Happy Days, right?
The Fonz literally jumped the shark, and it was the best episode ever, to quote Community.
That anyway. Is the idea, right? Like, Happy Days was a great show until they lost control of what they were doing. And then they have Fonzie jump a shark, right? And then like, and so everybody refers to it as like when a show like buys so far into its own hype that they lose what they had initially.
Why don't we just call it, you know, pulling a Heroes at this point?
Sure, Hero jumped the shark in the exact same way. But this is the answer that I have for you. Yes, they have jumped the shark. They absolutely have. And the reason is they are blind to the community. And that is by choice. It's not by accident.
What,
they
are you
closed
saying that
they
door. Chose to close down the Forge World and Black Library?
I'm telling
Facebook
you right
pages?
Now. Yes, I agree.
And no, Twitter accounts.
And Twitter.
There you go. Right, like they have completely turned a blind eye to it. They don't care, and so yes, they have jumped the shark. They've jumped the shark. They've come down and they've jumped it again. Like, it's one of those things where you have to understand that this used to be a company about games and models. It is now a company about dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's a game that we love. And yes, they make the best models. And yes, the community is the largest in the world. Nobody's going to deny that. Are they on the decline? Yes, they are on the decline. Maddie?
I know we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm just going to come at it from this point of view. there has not been a company with such great IP that has dropped the ball more than GW in modern times.
That's a good point.
When it comes about IPs, if we're talking about a company that worries about dollar signs, they're worrying about dollar signs in the worst possible way because they could be making so much money through other avenues that
Which is something we discussed in the past.
Exactly. And this is one thing I still don't understand. How do you have such strong IPs that can literally sell themselves? And when we talk about Space Marines, we've already said this. Space Marines are one of the most iconic sci-fi things out there. People who don't even know about Games Workshop know about what a Space Marine is. It just makes zero sense. How is a company...
They may even have been sued.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. People are so excited to steal these people's IP and call it their own that GW has to lawyer up all the time and fight people about books and video games just so they can maybe make mediocre video games and books. Now, a company like this, when it comes to what their viewpoint is, dollar signs. We all understand this now. We're talking about the dollar signs. We're trying to make money here. We're trying to print that stuff. We're trying to expand market share. But they're not expanding it. They're not going about it the right way. And with such strong IPs they have and everybody dropping the ball and no one in their corporate sector being able to figure out what the fuck they're doing, it really hurts the product altogether.
Okay, so I'm going to respond to the idea of having a really strong modern company dropping the ball on their IP by saying one name, George motherfucking Lucas. He did the same fucking shit to his Star Wars universe when he came out with, like, the new reboot and episodes 1 through 3. Like, they don't... He didn't give a shit about the community. He did not give a shit.
It's apples and oranges.
He was in a model company.
How are you so stupid?
You are an insult to wargaming,
you cheesecake.
But, like... Seriously, guys. Like when we talk about like people who mismanage their IP, it happens all the time, right?
But this company's never mismanaged it that way. He was already making movies. He just made
and
movies.
toys and everything else.
He was a $1 billion business before. GW's never been a billion dollar business.
And Games Workshop was making all this stuff. Games Workshop is still making money through their. Basically, they're outsourced IP. But what I'm going to say...
I'm breaking you off. Yeah,
seriously.
GW, both of you.
Nathan gets a turn.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't had a chance to weigh in on this yet. No, but I mean, like, the biggest thing is, and we talked about it before, Games Workshop has mismanaged their IP because they continually decide that they are only going... They will be the only masters of their intellectual property. You know, we've said it before, DC made more money on The Dark Knight than they made selling comics over 90 years. Okay, so we know that there are avenues of profit that Games Workshop has literally not explored. They are not working on merchandise like shirts and belt buckles and fucking mugs. And I mean, like, there are things that people would buy that would literally eat it up. Now, George Lucas, like you were saying, like, yeah, sure, he released 3 shit movies. But it's not like he was asking people to buy that movie every week of every year since he made them. And that's the biggest difference. Is that would be like saying, you know what, I've released Phantom Menace. And every week for the next 5 years, Phantom Menace is going to be a new release in theaters on Friday. So make sure you buy this.
Give me this right now. The only difference between what George Lucas and what GW was talking about is George Lucas was a $1 billion company before he made those ones. And he cut himself.
No,
I haven't said it yet. Because he was a $1 billion company and he cut himself from making more billions.
Listen, I control the microphone.
Games Workshop should be a $1 billion business that's only making millions. And that's the difference.
I agree.
And that's the difference.
And I made the analogy because of this. Both of them lost touch with the fans who made them, right? Like, the disrespect that was shown by both.
Disrespect is a very strong word. It's not that.
Okay, everyone out there, if you think that the way George Lucas handled episodes 1 through 3, throw out the fuck, say something, because I feel like that's fucking disrespect.
My turn. All right, so here's the thing, right? George Lucas, in your mind, has betrayed his IP because he's disrespecting the fans in your mind. In his mind, he's not. In his mind, he's still making the films that he wants to make. But the reason why George Lucas is a genius, and nobody can deny that he's a genius, is because he's made more money on something that was not worth as much as it was, or as much as other people thought it was, every single time he put out a product. Now, George Lucas is gone from Star Wars. This is a very old conversation now. George Lucas is out of the picture. We're dealing with Jar Jar Abrams. And, like, this is what we're going to be doing, right?
Oh, my God. That is going to stick for life.
That's where it is. But basically, right, like, This is one of those things where I don't agree with the analogy because A, it's apples and oranges, and B, George Lucas is still exceptionally successful, even with a failed product. Games Workshop is losing touch, and they are on the decline. And that was the question that was brought to us here is, you know, do you feel that they're on the decline? Do you feel that they've lost touch? Do you feel that, you know, and again, read other things I don't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, as I've said before, and I stand by it, Games Workshop will be the BlackBerry of miniature games, okay? They were doing...
That was my analogy, motherfucker.
No, you didn't say it.
I was going to say...
You didn't say it on the show.
I didn't say it today.
You didn't say it on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, there is recorded evidence that says it's
my
analogy.
I made a joke about smoothies. You're probably going to try to claim that, too.
like I said, it's one of those things where it's just like, Games Workshop was the king of the hit mountain. They had all the market share. They were so successful in creating an entire generation of miniature war gamers. And they were. I mean, like, we're here because of it. Like, basically, when they decided
look at their growth, right?
Yeah, you look at their growth from, like, the early 90s to now. Because even when you look, you know, you might talk about where it's just like, oh, Games Workshop sales are down and this and that. But even their sales now, which are down from their record high, are still higher than they were 30 years ago. And much higher. Like, it's not even close to how it is. So Games Workshop owned the market. They successfully created an entire generation of people that enjoy miniature war games, enjoy the hobby. But the biggest problem for them now is, now more than ever, there are competitors. The internet has made everything accessible, because before the internet, Games Workshop only stocked their shit. They were in every mall. So maybe a big city would have another independent stockist that might have one other game with two people that played it. Now, it just isn't the case. I can get involved in a Kickstarter for a new game if I want. Right. I mean, this year at Out of the Basement alone, they went from running only a 40K and a fantasy tournament to running what? 40K, Fantasy,
different game systems.
War Machine, Firestorm Armada, Dystopian Wars, Malifaux, Star Trek, Star Wars, you know, X-Wing. So like I said, you know, just the fact that they themselves, as a gaming club who provides a wonderful service to the community by running great events for everyone, they were just like, listen, Warhammer and 40K are no longer the only game in town. And it's not even like, yeah, there's fucking Joey and his friend who play in their basement that play this other game. They were just like, there are six other games that we're going to fucking sell tickets to. And what, the smallest one had 8 people come in? So, I mean, right. The world is different, and that's why I think Games Workshop is on the decline, and they will never recover because they're so out of touch.
All right, so for the losing opinion, Terry.
Okay. Henry Ford made cars, and he was the number one car maker for a long time,
but you can invent cars.
Apples and oranges.
But you cannot be number one and not have the market break. That's the cycle of capitalism. The you know.
So you agree with us?
Games Workshop, yes. I never said that Games Workshop was never on the decline. They're operating like a business, though.
You said one word, George Lucas.
I said one name.
You said one word, George Lucas.
I said one name, motherfuckers. Pay attention. You are drunk!
There is no evidence of what she said. This isn't being recorded.
But I'm going to say that you cannot have a company be as big as Games Workshop was and not have people want to eat their lunch, not have people enter the market. And now that we have the internet, it was absolutely going to happen. Would you have been happy playing 40K and only 40K or Fantasy and only Fantasy for that long? Because we were not. The cycle comes around. As soon as you get to a point where you have two or three armies of, or you're happy with the number of armies you have in a game system, games start getting boring and you start reaching out for other things. That's the natural cycle of the gamer as well.
You can like hear the mic.
Maddie, lift the microphone.
Lift it off the table.
Sorry.
And then place it down.
Too late.
Yeah, too late, drunkie.
That is why you change editions. That's why the business model the way it is. I had 4 armies in 3rd edition and 4th edition. I was happy with buying more armies. 5th edition and 6th edition has killed that, not because there's other competition, it's because the editions have sucked. Okay?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I agree with you. right? I do. When you're at the top of the hill, there's only one way down, right? I think
there's
really
direction further up.
There you go. To space. I brought a parachute. But no, I mean, really what it comes down to here is that they had an opportunity to continue the game because they had done it for years. It wasn't just they've been at the top recently and are now at the bottom. They've been at the top all the time, right? Mm-hmm. This is a culture that they created. And because of that, they have every opportunity to continue that. The problem is that they've lost touch to the point where they are now releasing things that nobody wants. They're releasing things that have no bearing on the game, and it doesn't contribute to the overall meta, and it doesn't contribute to the overall canon of the game. Nobody is going to start writing Imperial Knights into the fiction. Nobody's going to start, like, this is what's so silly about it. Now, when it comes down to Games Workshop and their plans and the way that they put things together, I mean, the big thing that I come away with what you're saying is like, well, yes, of course. I mean, of course this is going to happen, right? But if we go back to the whole idea of the internet, and I'm going to use your Star Wars metaphor, right? It's not like fan films versus the movies, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like the Tech Project fan film that two Asian guys made, you know, 15 minutes of lightsaber battles up on YouTube.
What about Lightsaber Kid?
We're not in that realm anymore. We are in the realm of Deep Impact versus, what was the other asteroid? Armageddon, right? That is the realm we're in now. We're in the realm of direct competition. And they can't ignore that direct competition as much as they do. But they just ignore it. What do? Oh, Gothic? We're done with that. It's like, why would you just ignore the fact that there are companies out there making money, printing it? Why would you not give us a new version of Gothic? Why would you not give us a new box set, new models, new anything? The reason is profitability and focus and all those types of things. And Terry's hand is up because she apparently has something very important to say, and I'm sure she'll have an accent.
Penis.
The reason why, and I'm going to blame a specific demographic for this.
It's Blood Bowl players.
It's Blood Bowl players. That's why. There is no print of Necromunda. That's why there's no print.
We can all agree it is Blood Bowl players to blame, yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
All right, fair enough.
Thanks for killing specialist Blood Bowl players.
Yeah, thanks, Blood Bowl players.
No, but I mean, and like, Aaron with Epic.
Epic players.
Casting all of his own models that Games Workshop doesn't even make. or sell. God, just a dick. No, but I mean, like, you know, yes. Like, at the end of the day, Games Workshop used to do a lot of things that were a service to their community. Like, back when we first got into this, I know I first got into the hobby in 98, but I really didn't get big into it until I moved up to Edmonton. So this was 2002 to about 2006 is when I was biggest into the hobby. So this is the heyday of, like, and tail end of 3rd edition, but, like, 4th edition true and proper. I mean, this was the one, like, if you played back then, you can recount the rules from 5 different sets of assault rules.
Right,
because
right.
Games Workshop literally just kept pushing out trials in White Dwarf. They're like, try out these trial assault rules. We think this will work. And we're like, oh boy, no.
Hey,
no.
Try all our assault rules for a year and then tell us which ones are good, and that will be in 4th edition.
Totally. That's exactly right. What they did.
Because we don't have playtests at this point.
But I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, I remember back then, Games Workshop on their own website hosted their own forums about the game.
Right.
You know, so, like, it was like, that was the thing, is like, they ran their own events, and they had their own web forums, and they did this, and they did that. And I mean, I really can't help but feel that of late, in all of Games Workshop's cost-cutting efforts, because all of these things cost money. Server hosting, your, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a lot of money.
No.
It is not a lot of money.
That's not what I was talking about. What I was saying, it's not just cost-cutting. It's charging more.
No. Totally. I get that. But, like, when Games Workshop was trying to slim down when the Lord of the Rings teat dried up, right. And holy shit, did it dry up overnight. I can't believe Games Workshop actually thought that when there weren't movies coming out, people would still be interested
still
in the
want
game.
To play it.
Holy crap.
I know, what a stupid decision. I need my box of 9 Aragorns.
Listen, everyone needs a box of 9 Aragorns, okay?
Box of Aragorns.
Until
it's 10 now because you get one in a barrel.
Oh, yes.
No, there's no an Aragorn.
There's no Aragorn in the barrel.
Yes.
You're stupid.
Yet. No, but I mean, like, that's...
He refused to be in The Hobbit.
The point...
And his reasoning for it was that Aragorn is not in The Hobbit.
Does he make a cameo, though, in one?
No, he
does
not.
Because
he refused.
Okay. That is fantastic.
He refused.
Thank you, Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen said no. Aragorn is not in The Hobbit. And they're like, yeah, but we want you in there. We're going to go ahead and write something in. He's like, no, Aragorn is not in The Hobbit. Like, and that was his, like, he just said, fuck you.
I'm surprised Peter Jackson didn't just, like, get another hobo-looking guy with greasy long hair and just be like, this is Aragorn now.
Let's bring Sean Bean back again, please.
There we go.
I heard in Jupiter Ascending he dies.
Woo!
Spoiler.
it's a Sean Bean movie. Trying to get back to my point after all the derailing.
I don't know where you're going.
My point is that Games Workshop, when every... like, the feeling of the community was better when Games Workshop was involved in the community. When they ran their own events, and they were the pillar that people aspired to be.
You used to have a website where you could check your ranking in Canada.
Totally. No, but I mean, like, when Games Workshop ran their own events, everyone aspired to run an event as good and as big as Games Workshop did it, because they were the best. And then Games Workshop decides, you know what, we're going to cut costs and we're going to come out with this bullshit line about how our community runs better events than we do, so we said, fuck it, let them do it for us. And you're just like, you know, but it's such a transparent lie, because Games Workshop ran the best events and they attracted the most people. People wanted to do it. Like,
it
even
had
when,
legitimacy.
It totally had legitimacy. Even when Games Workshop did take that step away and they said, we're going to run Throne of Skulls, and this is going to be this huge shindig in Vegas, best tournament ever, and I don't remember playing any games there, but hey, Vegas. You know, when they did that, people chased those tickets to go to a Games Workshop run event. So, I mean, like, it's one of those things where it's just like, back when Games Workshop cared about the community cared about Games Workshop, and we have come to this point now where the community... You know, people only play because they've invested thousands of dollars and thousands of hours. And it's the only reason they're still playing.
Thousands of dollars?
Dollars.
We're going to invest thousands of dollars. All right. So, the weekly listener poll question we have for you is the same question that we talked about here. Has Games Workshop jumped the shark? Yes? No? Please feel free to comment. And we'll talk about that on the next episode. But hey now, something shiny... You know, we are getting close to summer. There's a lot of movies coming out.
Are we getting close to summer? Because I look out this fucking window,
trailer
and I'm
reviews.
Like, what
trailer
the
reviews.
Fuck is going
trailer
on?
Reviews.
So,
oh, God.
What movie are you excited for? You guys, I'm sure you guys have seen the Godzilla trailer.
Yep.
Right? I think Godzilla and this version of Godzilla is suffering from Man of Steel. Like syndrome, where they're just like, you know what Godzilla needs? More sadness.
More Russell Crowe?
It's suffering from Spider-Man. It has tons of villains. Because I think it fights
Godzilla?
Like two.
Godzilla?
No, no, it fights like two different monsters in it.
Yeah, but
I had not heard that at all.
No, check it out. Like, if you're in the trailer and you're watching the trailer. Sorry. It's going down. I'm yelling timber. Okay. If you're watching the trailer, there's points where they show different legs of different monsters. Where, like, Godzilla's not around and planes are falling out of the sky.
Okay, I think that's a stretch. I think it's just Godzilla.
No, I think he's fighting at least Mothma in this.
Mothra,
whatever.
Yo, dude, you are...
Mothma.
Yeah, I was going to say, you are thinking about the Star Wars leader of the New Republic. Hey.
Okay, weekly listener poll question. Who would win, Godzilla or Mon Mothma? I guess it all depends on whether or not she has the plans for his thermal exhaust port.
That's his anus.
Godzilla or the Rebel Alliance.
Godzilla and or snub fighters. What are you excited for this summer, Nathan?
Honestly, the only thing that I've seen that's really excited me is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, there you go.
It is really the only one.
And you haven't read the comic.
No, I literally have not read the comic, but I do like James Gunn films. I think I'm like the only person that does. You know, I think he has a great sense of humor, and I think that that really fits the source material. I think the casting decisions were great, and when I watched that trailer, I was sold. You know, I was 100% sold, and there's so few movies that can do that for me. Because, I mean, like I said, even I have two Star Wars tattoos. Episode 7 frightens me. Like, I'm just like, I don't know anything about it, but I'm sure it will be terrible, Jar Jar Abrams.
Jar Jar Abrams, it is. What about you, Terry? What are you excited for?
I am, and I hate to admit this openly to the world, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer, guys. No. Like, I know it hurts. Oh. It hurts.
You mean Shrek Quadruplets, the movie?
Can't pull it from her.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be your honor. That was the moment that the irreconcilable differences began, and from that moment on, I knew the marriage was over.
Wow.
First off, April O'Neil is not a redhead.
She should have been cast Felicia Day. I said it like a bazillion times on Facebook.
I agree.
I hate that.
I agree. But that was a terrible trailer. Awful. And why in God's green earth are you excited for that? What possible motivation it's could make you excited?
It's the way they go from New York City to the mountains and back.
You guys have no sense.
We agree. You guys have no sense of fun.
I just... It's.
Excuse me. I am the only person watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. Yeah, I'm having all the fun. And I have fun. And that show is
fun.
Judge me on my fun. Do not tell me about fun.
CSI, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Go to hell.
Anyways. But, like, it's just, it's fun. It's fun. It's light. I don't want a fucking... Okay, so... This
feel
is
like
what
gonna be
you know. What you sound
drama.
Like? You sound like Nathan when I said, "Oh my God, I am super excited about Pacific Rim." What the fuck?
Well, okay, I never sound like Nathan. Here, I'm gonna take this back.
I never sound like Nathan. Okay,
except when people confuse the two
Pacific
of us,
that's
all
right.
All the time.
Pacific Rim was awesome.
Pacific Rim was amazing. Here's the problem.
No,
here's the problem with Ninja Turtles.
Like
I went,
shit.
I went first night.
The trailer for Pacific Rim made that
night.
Movie look like it was going to be fucking.
I was there opening night. I was opening night. I was opening night.
The Pacific Rim trailer made it look like it was Pearl Harbor 2 The Monstering. Like, seriously.
Okay. Ninja Turtles is not going to be fun. That trailer is dark, where they're just like, there's crime. And everybody's getting murdered.
And they're just destroying the
and
city
the
for no
a white
reason.
White guy
the Shredder's a white fucking
guy,
white guy.
White guy who's a businessman.
God, this is going to be Last Airbender with fucking Shrek.
So
all right, Matt, what are you excited for?
So we're agreeing on this, right?
Oh, we agree.
Oh, we agree. Days of Future Past, right?
Days of Future Past.
Done. Days of Future Past has had to bring
two
out two
trailers
in 6 months, and other movies have had that already have four. And I know...
There's a featurette about how Magneto killed John F. Kennedy.
Yes. Yes, there is. Also, I know a close second is definitely the Captain America. Captain America coming out like next weekend.
Winter Soldier.
It's going to be amazing. I've heard great reviews on it. We are definitely going first. We are definitely going first night. Winter Soldier is going to be good, but Days of Future Past is going to be the best movie of the year.
Stop
period.
It. Just stop it.
Sorry. Days of Future Past.
Dude, when you think about touching the table, just touch your penis. Just it's what we do.
Yes,
it's a podcasting pro tip.
Days of Future Past. Though.
Days of Future Past, I think, is going
to
be the one.
I want to actually put a caveat in there. I'm excited to see Transformers.
No.
I have a soft spot for Transformers.
And that was when my sister wife and I had irreconcilable differences.
I'm sorry. The Transformers does not look that bad. I understand it's
yeah,
bad.
But Transformers 2 and 3 were fucking awful.
All
why
right.
would you even give them a
outside,
chance for?
Outside of Days of Future Past, which is what I'm easily the most excited for, I'm actually really excited for Sabotage, which is an Anton Fuqua who's done like Training Day and End of Watch, like dark-ass crime drama starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm doubling down on that movie. In a second, I need it. I want it.
So
it has to happen.
That's your bad.
Oh, I'll buy right into it. Yes.
So Terry's taking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm taking Transformers. You're taking some Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I've never heard of.
Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
Oh, Guardians is going to be great. It's going to be a fun movie to go see. Definitely.
No, I don't think there's any drawback on Guardians of the Galaxy. I think every single person who's seen the trailer.
What a bunch of a-holes.
Well, it's just, you know, they.
So who
they,
called him Star-Lord?
Mostly himself.
Like, who are you?
If you
I'm Star-Lord.
Just enjoy a trailer that much. And, you know, like, it's steeped really heavily in Marvel fiction. So, like, every single one of those characters that you see on screen actually has a name. And is involved in the comic books. Like, John C. Reilly's character was the original Nova who dies and gives his powers to the, you know, Richard Rider who becomes the Nova. So, like, they're playing everything according to the Marvel Universe, which is actually really kind of cool and exciting and a lot of fun. But, you know, I think it's just, you have to wait and see. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic about it. The big difference is that Guardians of the Galaxy does not have, like, a commercial for Harvey's. with like Mystique eating a burger and then like turning into a full grown man so that she can take a bite out of it. I showed that to some friends of mine today, and my caption
Fox.
For it.
That's Fox. You know that's Fox.
That it's is Fox. That is absolutely Fox. And my caption for it was like, listen, I get that Mystique is a terrorist, but this is literally the worst thing she's ever done. And then he started talking about how the XL Bacon Extreme Western Burger, I think it's like, a 7-word acronym for this burger, is so good that it could literally make Professor X walk again and like cure Magneto's childhood trauma from the Holocaust. Wow. But I don't know what I can do without Kevin Bacon in a movie, in an X-Men movie, because he was so good in that movie.
Oh my God. He was in First Class, he was very good, actually.
He stole the show.
Again,
no, 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 not no, even no, a no, little no, no, bit. No, no, no,
he absolutely no, no, did steal
Michael
the show.
Michael Fassbender.
I like Michael Fassbender.
No.
He stole everybody's Nightcrawler. Have you seen him in freaking, what's the one? The one where his dick's swinging around like a grandfather clock?
Nightcrawler's dad stole that.
Have you not seen that?
No.
There's a movie. I can't remember what it's called. It's called Shame. That's what it's called. It's called Shame. And he's naked for like a half hour in the movie, and his dick is enormous. It's like he is a grandfather clock. Like, the dude is a tripod. It's amazing. Yeah, go just like.
I was going to say, Terry's looking it up right now.
Not Google. Like, you can't YouTube it, but if you go to like Vimeo or something like that and just type like Michael Fassbender shame nude scenes, it's just him walking around and like his dick slapping his knees. Like, it's crazy. So yeah, I'm down.
The only thing that stole First Class for me was Nightcrawler's father.
Oh, Mephisto.
Yeah, Mephisto. He was amazing in that movie, and they depicted him so well. I'm actually kind of depressed he's not going to be in any other movies, but he was really good. That character was well done in First Class.
Well, and again, like what they really understood, and again,
was that First Class
the same director and writer, right? Like Matthew Vaughn and
it wasn't the best. It wasn't
Bryan
the best,
Singer.
It wasn't the best X-Men movie, but they did that.
It was the best X-Men movie.
No,
go to
way,
hell.
Not even.
No,
100%.
X2 was way better.
Better than X2. I'm sorry.
X2 was better. X-Men was better.
Better than X2.
First Class was boring. If it did not involve Magneto killing Nazis
and taking off my panties,
he was killing Russians.
Right. Any movie that involved Nightcrawler stuff happening were the top two. We can argue between First Class and X2 being the top two.
Listen,
ones.
I'll say that they are close, but I will lean more toward First Class
Cecil.
Because First Class.
I thought his name was Cecil.
Cecil? No.
No, Nightcrawler's dad.
Azazel.
Azazel. Sorry, Azazel. Yeah, the demon.
Sorry, not Mephiston. Mephiston was the other redskin demon bad guy.
The one you killed at the end of
Azazel, you're right.
From the comics.
Yuri, Azazel is his name.
Azazel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Azazel.
It was a demon's name.
Very much so. Yeah. The only reason why I lean toward First Class is I think First Class actually did drama better. Right? Like, they actually did drama and, like...
You mean...
Really?
Like
really?
You mean... Okay,
you will describe hammy acting and terrible script writing as, quote-unquote, drama?
Any parts... Any
oh, my
parts
God. This
involved...
is why Lang likes the prequels and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I like the prequels, too.
George Lucas.
You know, in my top six, I rank episode 5 5th.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I rank episode... Ow! Oh, I rank episode 5 5th. I rank episode 1 number 2. I rank episode 1 number 2.
Listen,
I enjoy episode 1 the second best.
No, terrible. Listen.
Right
hey,
after 6.
Listen,
it goes
man.
6 1 4.
Listen.
6
I'm not
1 4.
Talking
6
about
1 4.
The high school drama part. I'm talking about all the Michael Fassbender bits, right?
Yes.
The drama where he's killing the Nazis in the bar in Argentina. The bits where he's, you know, being confronted with Kevin Bacon... You know, the bits where Professor X is looking into
Anytime
his mind.
Anytime with him and Professor
mother,
X is great.
Where he's like crying and
But the kids are horrible in the movie.
Oh, the kids are terrible, but they're the fucking kids.
But they're like 90% of the fucking movie.
Because they're the first class. That has been Jada Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Terry.
Have a good one.
Cheers.
Peace.